It's mid-morning, shortly after the close of our last episode. As in the office of District Attorney Frederick Apt.
Hello, Mr. Apt.
Ah, Halverson. You finally got here, huh?
Well, I don't know about finally. Your methods just caught up with me.
Sit down, Lieutenant.
Thank you.
You know, Lieutenant, there's nothing like doing a good job to make a man feel fit as a fiddle. When a man knows he's right and he proves he's right, well, there's no feeling like it.
Mm-hmm. Just what are you talking about, Mr. Ant?
The Weber killing.
You working on it personally?
I am, and I'm getting results.
Good.
I'm not going to complain, Lieutenant, and neither am I going to say I told you so, but as a matter of fact, I did tell you.
What?
When Ed Beekman maintained his innocence in the face of the evidence against him, you said Beekman might be telling the truth. Well, I really don't like to say I told you so.
You talked to Beekman again?
Beekman has been in conference with his attorney, Mr. Perry Mason. I've got Mason this time, Halverson, because I've got Beekman dead to rights. Oh, I'll be frank with you. I had a very small doubt myself, in spite of the evidence against him. His fingerprints on the knife and all the rest. I don't mind saying I was puzzled, because I couldn't see a motive for Beekman.
Yes, that little thing bothered me, too, among other things.
He had a motive. Beekman's trouble with the dead man last year.
Yes, sir. But you don't have a run-in with a guy last year and then look him up this year and stab him to death.
That kind of thing happens, Lieutenant.
Not with a guy in his right mind. And Beekman's got all his marbles. We've run ourselves ragged looking for a connection between Weber and Beekman, and we draw a blank. I'll bet you $5 Beekman didn't see Weber for a year.
$5, huh?
Or $100. Beekman just didn't have any truck with the guy. Beekman stuck to his job and kept his nose clean.
And you say he has no motive?
Only that trouble a long time ago. But that isn't all, Mr. Apt. I've been over to the crime lab.
I'm certain you had an interesting visit. But suppose you listen while I tell you what I found. I learned Beekman has a 21-year-old daughter.
Well, that's on the record.
She is a lovely red-haired girl. Men find her attractive.
So?
What have you learned of Beekman as a family man?
He's a good father.
He loves his children?
Do anything for them. Beekman worked like a dog to keep his family together, even when his back was killing him.
In short, he's an old-fashioned, possessive father.
Well, I don't know about that, but...
Let me ask you this. What about the character of the dead man?
Weber? Well...
Exactly. Ed Beekman has a certain opinion of Gordon Weber. Whether Beekman's opinion is justified is beside the point. The point is, Beekman considered Weber a man of low moral character.
That's the polite way of putting it.
Exactly. Beekman hated Weber. We're concerned merely with the fact, not the reason for it. Now, Beekman loves his daughter. And again, we're interested merely in that fact. We're not interested as yet in whether or not the girl deserves her father's affection. Now, you have that picture. Beekman hates Weber. Beekman loves his daughter. Lieutenant, how would Beekman feel if he learned his beloved daughter had been working, for months, mind you, in a nightclub managed by Gordon Weber? And, Lieutenant, how would Beekman feel if he learned his daughter not only worked for Weber, but that she was fond of him?
What?
And not merely fond, Lieutenant. Infatuated. So completely infatuated, she made clandestine visits to Weber's apartment. How would Ed Beekman feel if he followed his daughter to Weber's apartment, went inside, found the child he loved with the man he hated? It happened. Two witnesses saw Kate Beekman enter the dead man's apartment. A few moments later, they saw her father also enter that apartment. Then, a few minutes after, Kate Beekman ran out.
So it was Kate Beekman.
Of course she was there. I just told you. Two witnesses.
No. No, I mean...
Now, don't dodge the issue, Halverson. You've got to admit I found Beekman's motive. If Beekman had played his cards right, he'd have pleaded the unwritten law. But he has stubbornly maintained his innocence. And now... Well, now I have my motive and... Oh, excuse me. Yes? Well, by all means, send him right in. It's Perry Mason.
Oh. Hello, Halverson.
Mason. Apt?
Sit down, Mason.
How's Beekman?
He's fine.
You want to see me privately, Mason?
No, I want Halverson to hear this. Apt, Ed Beekman is innocent. Now, you have evidence which appears to link Beekman with the crime.
Appears to? I'm not a fool, Mason.
No, I wouldn't be here if I thought you were. You're smart enough to know that your case is weak, in spite of your so-called evidence.
You don't seem to take my so-called evidence seriously.
It's serious. but it doesn't bother me.
Mason.
Just a minute, Lieutenant. Did Beekman explain, specifically, did he explain the presence of his fingerprints on the murder weapon?
He did.
How did they come to be there?
I'll give you that explanation at the proper time.
I say now is a good time. Tell me.
The information given his counsel by the accused is privileged, Abt. I'll tell you this. You will never bring Ed Beekman to trial.
Why?
Several reasons. One, you know as well as I. You don't have a motive.
Is that all?
And it'll do for a start. You know your case is weak. So let's not beat around the bush, hmm?
And what do you suggest?
Find the real murderer. Throw everything you and the police have into an investigation of Weber's associates. And I can give you a running start because I've already done some digging. Halverson here can tell you that.
In reference to an auto theft syndicate?
And there may be a connection between Weber's nightclub and the syndicate.
And Ed Beekman?
Beekman has been working so hard at Nicholas Importing, he hasn't had time to get off the track.
In other words, you'd like me to take off on a wild goose chase.
Apt. The logical place to look for the killer is among Weber's associates.
I don't quite agree with you. If I wanted to see the killer, I would go to City Jail, visit cell block 3 and cell number 27. I refer to Beekman's cell.
Apt, you will never bring Beekman to trial.
That's a matter of opinion. He's bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
He's right.
Huh?
Mason is right. You'll never bring Beekman to trial.
You are a brilliant young police officer, Lieutenant, but may I remind you...
Mr. Rapp, we developed latent prints at the crime lab.
What?
I had a hunch. I tried to figure why Beekman's prints are on the knife if he's innocent. The answer has to be that he put them there. Okay, why? Now I've got the answer. The fingerprints of a second person are on that knife. The prints of the second person are under Beekman's. In other words, Beekman picked up the knife and wiped it off, only he didn't do a good job, and he left his own prints on the knife. I didn't know who else was in the apartment until you said it's his daughter. We also got her prints on the doorknobs, bedroom door and front door.
In other words, the daughter killed Weber. And Beekman cleaned the knife in an attempt to shield her.
That's how it looks. I'll go pick her up.
Not so fast, Lieutenant. Now, let's look before we leave.
For what?
For a motive for her. Let's us do a little digging. Why don't you start at the nightclub?
Good idea. A fellow named August Jansen owns the place.
Get me Mr. August Jansen, owner of the nightclub Weber managed. This has given me quite a shock, Lieutenant. The more I think of it, the girl had a close relationship with Weber. Yes? Now, let me speak to Mr. Jansen, please. I see, out of town for the day. Huh? Oh, who's in charge, please? Miss Fasina, in charge of entertainment? Well, have you her number? Yes, yes, I have it, thank you. Jansen's out of town for the day, but a Miss Fasina is in charge of entertainment. Give me an outside line, please.
Wait a minute.
Yeah?
Are you going to see her?
No, no, I haven't time.
Let me, Mr. Abt.
Very well. Here, take the phone.
Miss Fasina? Well, my name is Lieutenant Halverson, Homicide Squad. Yes, I'm in charge of investigating the death of Gordon Weber. Miss Fasina. Miss Fasina.
And what is it?
She started bawling. Now, Miss Fasina, I'd like to ask a few questions in reference to Miss Kate Beekman. Yes. Well, I'll come over now if that's all right. Thank you.
What did she say when you mentioned Kate Beekman?
She quit crying. I don't like to say I told you so, Mr. Rapp, but if you'll remember, I said I didn't think that Beekman killed Weber. Only I didn't figure it would turn out like this. I didn't figure I'd clear Beekman by nailing his daughter.
Lieutenant, I don't like to say I told you so, but you said Mason's right. You said I won't bring Beekman to trial. I didn't say which Beekman. Now, did I, Lieutenant?
You know Kate Beekman is innocent. You know the real killer is Kate's false friend, Gus Jansen. But unless the district attorney learns some things you know, well, I can promise an important and unsuspected development tomorrow. So, by all means, join us, won't you?